We really are. And ain't gonna have to, we ain't gonna have to worry about it. We all harmonize anything. Because we is gonna harmonize.
Perfect harmony.
That's right, perfect harmony. And I tell you, you know, in just thinking about that, in perfect harmony, everything's gonna be perfect. That's all when we're gonna all be matured to perfection. I don't know about y'all, but I'm ready to go. I just soon go tonight. Now, if any of y'all want to go with me, then y'all just let me know now. Oh, me. All right, well, I know we got business meeting tonight. I don't know if anything really that we need to bring up. Maybe y'all do. But I'm going to try to keep my emphasis, my message a little short here, because I'm gonna be bringing a few little thoughts that I see here in the book of Isaiah chapter 54, which we know that in chapter 53, people, they go back and they use these verses here, and they talk about the things of the Lord and his righteousness and the servants and everything. But also, he also mentions something else there that I think in verse 53 that a whole lot of people, they misunderstand it. They misunderstand it because it's in chapter 53 and verse 5, and then I'm going to go over to chapter 54. But in fact, chapter 53 and verse 5 here, I think this right here is one of the verses of scripture that has ever been, I think, misspoken, is misquoted and misused today. We hear so many preachers, so many evangelists use it, and I really don't think they understand really what he's talking about. It says, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Now, what we see a whole lot of people today, the evangelists, especially the TV evangelists, they use with his stripes we are healed. And they think that's the healing for our soul, for salvation. But that's not what he's speaking about. He's speaking about the body. He's speaking about our mind. He's speaking about our heart. There's nothing mentioned there about salvation. But you go back up and look, and he says, but he was wounded for our transgression. He was wounded where? At the cross of Calvary. He was buried for our iniquity. He was buried in a barred tomb. He did not have no place to lay his head. He did not have a place that he could call home himself. The birds, the fowls of the air, they had a place that where they could go back and they could nest and they could call their home. But he had no place to where he could call home. But the chastisement of our peace, Now, what this goes back to, this goes back to the very first book of the Bible. When each one of us was birthed into this world, and when God picked up this, grabbed a hold of the sand of the earth, and he breathed into that, well, he took the sand there and he just, that's where life came from. That's where life for humanity come from, was from him. Because he took up the dust of the earth and he breathed it and he brought us a living soul. Now, we know also that from that point on, from that point right there, then what the Lord was talking about was about being predestinated. People today, they take that word and they use it in the wrong way. Yes, one time, there was one time in life that the predestination was there. Adam and Eve both was predestined for heaven. They was not predestined for hell, but they was predestined for heaven. But see, when Adam and when Eve, when they became one, Eve became Adam's helpmate, and Adam became Eve's helpmate. That's where sin come in at. That's when they had a choice. They had a choice to either do right or do wrong. And we know that they took of the forbidden fruit. And taking of that forbidden fruit is what brought sin down on humanity. That's where sin come from. It come from the beginning of time. When Adam and Eve there, they sinned. So naturally, he was the first Adam. He was just as much Jesus Christ then as Jesus Christ is today. Because see, Adam had not sinned. And you think about it. Adam, I know we have people today, they talk about all these professors and everything, and these scientists and everything, and got all these brains done. Just like, what is it, Einstein, no way I'm pronouncing it. But they say he's supposed to be the smartest and the most brilliant man that has ever lived on the face of this earth. But he's not. I'm going to take God and Jesus out of the equation. I'm speaking to mankind. I'm speaking about humanity itself. You know who was the brilliant? Adam. Adam was. Adam was the most intellectual. He was the most brilliant individual that ever has been breathed upon by the nostril of the Lord Jesus. You say, well, preacher says, what about some of the others in the Bible? What about Abraham? What about Job? What about Paul? They say, Paul, he knows seven different languages. Yes, he does. Seven different languages, probably more than that. But think about this, though. Have you ever been by a farm where they had cattle in it? They had horses in it? They had cows in it? They had goats? Now, what would be wrong about if I went by someone's house and they had a pet dog, which majority of the dogs, they don't like preachers anyhow. I mean, because they just taking get a hold of your britches legs and everything and tear your britches up and everything else. But could you see me calling that dog, go and rub that little dog there? How you doing? Man, it's the prettiest little horse I've seen in my life. It's the prettiest little cow I've seen.
No, God give that to Adam to name. God give Adam the ability to name each and every animal. And not none of them are named the same. They're all different. They're all, just like me and you, we're all different. We're different individuals. So if we're different individuals, how did we become different individuals? Through the first Adam. Adam. Because in the Bible, it speaks of mankind. Now we can go in and read the scripture where it's speaking about man and mankind and this. But what he's really saying is, mankind and womankind. Because he does not leave out nobody. He does not leave out nobody. We may think he leaves out, well, oh, you've been preaching all the time, you're just bringing up the men in the church. I mean, you know, no, well, hallelujah. I mean, all the men, they just go on sin. You'll never bring up the ladies. That's what Eve was. When Eve was brought in, before Eve ever was conceived and everything, Eve was considered man. Because that's all it was, just man. But what happened? God knew that Adam was going to need somebody else. Now, why in the world I'm going off this route, but you know, God knew that Adam was going to need somebody to keep him in line. I'm not scared to say it. The ladies that are here can outwork any man that they is. We don't have the ability to do that. We don't have the ability to go out and perform the task that y'all do. Which I blame all this on Adam. But, you know, that's the way it was. But I can't, that's what I want to blame it on. But, you know, I can't. Because, see, God seen where Adam was going to need a helpmate, was going to need somebody that could help him in doing the right things. Because, ladies, if you know it ain't but just me and Bill here. And I know there's one individual probably would say, I mean, about me, but hey, I'm going to be honest with you. If I didn't have my wife, and if she wasn't my helpmate, and if she didn't keep me straight, I have no idea what I'd be doing today. I doubt very seriously I would probably even be preaching or be in church. I thank God for her. She is my helpmate. And each one of us, in talking about that, each one of us has a spiritual helpmate. Each one of us do. Who's my spiritual helpmate? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Shelby, she is my human. She is the human side of the equation to keep me straight. In other words, she's my natural helpmate. But Jesus Christ is my spiritual helpmate. And Jesus Christ is also her spiritual helpmate. So if she does what's right, and if I do what's right, we're going to be in complete harmony together. And I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes it ain't complete harmony. And I ain't putting it off on her. I'm not going to take the blame for it. I'm going to take the blame for it because that's where the blame lies at. But with Eve, God spoke to the first Adam there in the garden. Now, I don't know what he was about ready to do. He was probably about ready to go and maybe pick a fruit and maybe eat on it or something like that. I don't know what he was aiming to do. But the Father sent something about him that he needed, that he did not have. And the Father could not feel the desire that he had. He needed a companion that could help him with daily chores, with daily thoughts, and daily stuff that he had to do. Because, see, God had placed a whole lot on Adam. But then God said, Adam, I'm going to give you a helpmate. But it's going to be some pain involved in it. Now, I'm going to just throw this in because I haven't found it in any of the commentaries or any other book. And I ain't even found it here in the Bible. But when talking about the pain, I believe that the pain that he was, that the Lord's, I mean, that God the Father was going to bring on Adam, and the same type of pain was going to be the same type of pain that the Son of God was going to be facing. That's what I think. I don't have no scripture about that. That's what I think. But then God came and says, Adam, for you to have a helpmate, I got to do some surgery. What did he do? He went in, he took one of his ribs. Brother Bill, I'm sorry to tell you. And I'm sorry to tell all of the other men. The reason the wives, the reason the ladies can outdo the man, it's because God took the strength of man that lied in that rib and he brought forth Eve. He brought forth Eve by Adam's rib. And then she became his helpmate. Up until then, there was nothing but male figures. God the Father, he's male. Lord Jesus Christ, he's male. The Holy Ghost, they male. But now, Eve come on the scene. So God says, We got to give Eve another name where she can relate to, where other people can relate to. Because she wasn't a male any longer. She became woman. The wound from the side of Adam's rib was brought forth, and the male figure of Adam. Womb come from a rib. God going in there and putting a womb right there. Then he had man. Woman. Woman. But you know something, I seen something else, and going, getting back to what I was going, what I was getting to in the first part of it. But over here in the book of, well, here in the book of Isaiah chapter 54, I'm going to bring us a couple of thoughts here that I wanted to bring out, and I don't know why the Lord even led me go the other way, but he did, so, and I don't apologize for it because, you know, that's what the Lord wanted. I believe, because I don't think, I mean, I didn't have nothing, I didn't have none of that written down or anything. So I know that it was his will. But here in Isaiah chapter 54, this chapter right here is starting out about the restoration of Israel. Now, Israel was God the Father's wife. That's what God looked at, that's how God looked at Israel, as his wife. He was looking at Israel about his helpmate. Because, see, God the Father, you know, really, God don't need us. God don't need me. But I need God. God don't need you. You need God. And as long as we get that in our head, that we need God, then God will use us to bring about the things that's in the Bible. Did you realize if it wasn't for us, we wouldn't even have a Bible? We wouldn't. It would be no need for it. Right? See, this is not all of God's Word. This is just an introduction. This is just an introduction of what His Word is all about. We could not even fathom what else He has for us. I mean, which we couldn't even, if we prayed about a scripture, or we prayed about a specific problem and everything, and if we had the complete Word of God, where it speaks about over in the book of Revelation, and it speaks about over in the book of, I believe it's the book of Hebrews too, that this world, in the book of Revelation, says this world itself cannot contain the Word of God. So in other words, what he's saying is, this world that we live in is not enough room to where he can take and lay page after page after page. Because he knows that we wouldn't even have time enough, and we don't even have the mind enough to be able to go back and search out a specific problem that we may be facing. That's the reason he just gave us the introduction. We have another introduction here. And said in verse 3, he said, "For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit," who? "The Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited." Verse 5, it says, "For thy maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall be called." The seed there, this is the first time that the Gentiles had been brought up. But we know that about this time, Israel had forsaken the Lord. They had forsaken God because they wanted to do it their way. And what did they? And God sent them on a trip. God sent them somewhere. How long did they stay? How long did they travel into the wilderness? 40 years? Could have been longer, could have been shorter. I don't know. But I do know one thing, they traveled, but God was still blessing them as they traveled, and they didn't understand it. Because there was not one of them that wore out the sandals that they was wearing on the feet. There was none of them where the garment had got so dirty and so filthy that they could not wear them. God supplied the need for them to go through the wilderness. God supplies the need for us to go through the wilderness of life here on earth. But it's up to us if we will go and ask Him to reveal that need to us, to reveal what He wants us to do. If we don't go to Him and ask Him, say, "Lord, what you want me to do tomorrow?" When we wake up in the morning, if I wake up, when I wake up, or if the Lord takes me home tonight, but if He allows me to wake up to a new day tomorrow, on Thursday of this week, if He allows me to wake up, He's not going to say, "Well, Donnie, you need to do this and that today." No. I need to go to Him. And I say, "Lord, what would you like for me to do today? What would you like for me to do? Where would you like for me to go? What would you like for me to share with people today?" He gives us that responsibility. Because the Father that I serve and the Lord Jesus Christ that I know personally is not going to handcuff me to the point and drag me here to this church. He's not going to handcuff no one else. He's not going to drag no one else to this church. That is the duty that He's left to the church. That's the duty that He's left each and every one of us. That is the duty that He has left to the body of Christ here at Faith Baptist Church, to do what we can do. And if we think about it, we know that Israel was the chosen nation. We know that no one, no country, all you can put all the countries that there are, Iraq, Iran, Russia,
Afghanistan, the United States of America, and every one of them can get together with all the artillery that we have. And we can go up against Israel. Oh, yes, we may get one or two. But Israel is going to still stand. Did you realize in the whole world, and this is a great big world, even the state of Virginia, it's a big state. This church right here is here in Pennsylvania County. It's the biggest county that there is in the state of Virginia. But just think about this though. Of the complete world, and with all the technology that we have today, Israel's got something that no other nation has. They've got that golden dome over there. What's that dome there? If anybody launches a missile, anything towards Israel, that dome searches it out and knocks it out of there. China's tried their very best. Iran, they have tried their best to get rid of Israel. They can't do it. And they say, well, they ain't been up against us yet. Speaking about Russia. Russia can get anybody they want to. It don't make no difference. They're not going to harm Israel. They're not going to do away with Israel. And Israel became a state, like I said, that past weekend, Sunday, that they became a state back in 1948. Once again there, for a long time, nobody recognized Israel as a nation, as a state. They got it back. The seed, which represents the Lord Jesus Christ, that seed that came forth and impregnated Mary there, and that seed would come forth, and Mary would bear a child in his name. Would become Jesus. His name would become the Messiah. His name would become Wonderful Counselor. It would become no other name that there ever was. And I think about the very most important name of it all. That he became love. He became love. Why? Because he loved me. He loved you. In verse 5, we see where his name, where the Lord of hosts in his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The Redeemer, the Holy One. He is my Redeemer. Is he your Redeemer? If you're saved, he's your Redeemer. And we must do all we can to help our Redeemer. To lift him up each and every day. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, for what you give me tonight. Lord, I may have spoken out of turn on some things, but Lord, I just pray, Father, that you will just take it and you would take it and arrange it in a way to where
the individuals here could understand what I was speaking about and what you wanted me to speak about. And Father, I do thank you, Lord, that you gave me something fresh from heaven to think about. That I can look at the book of Isaiah. And if I had no other book, and if I had a choice of just picking one book out of the Bible, to where I could take it with me wherever I went, it would be the book of Isaiah. Because the book of Isaiah has the Old Testament at the first of it, and then it has the New Testament in it also. Speaks about Israel. Speaks about the Gentile. It speaks about God the Father. Speaks about your Son. Father, we want to thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.